Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
My name's Billy. I'm the director of men's ministries here at the East Campus.
Hi, Billy.
Hi. Hi, Billy. So today, we're going to be talking about sacrifice. So if I mention the word sacrifice, what comes to your mind? So personally, I'm an ice cream person. It's not uncommon for me to have more than one container of ice cream in my freezer. Confession's good for the soul. So for me, sacrifice could be letting someone have the rest of a favorite type of ice cream. Or maybe it's working long days away from home to provide for our families. The idea of sacrifice is not that unfamiliar to us as Americans. We think of wartime heroes or everyday men and women who go above and beyond what could ever be asked. Some of them making the ultimate sacrifice for the good of someone else. Sacrifice is something we see in the story of God's people from the very beginning. The example of Abraham and Isaac as found in the Old Testament is a powerful portrait of what sacrifice looks like. It could look a little something like this.
Abraham, take a lamb.
No, mistress.
Isaac, you must trust in God.
Thank you.
sacrifice. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord.
So, did you catch the words spoken in the beginning of the video? Isaac speaking to Abraham. Father, we have the wood, but where's the lamb? Abraham speaking to Isaac. The Lord will provide a sacrifice, my son. As we continue in our series, we will see that Christ made the ultimate sacrifice, not for a country or a single person, but for every person. He was the spotless Lamb of God. Welcome back to our series, Christ Above All. The last few weeks, diving into this series, Christ Above All, we've learned that Jesus is above all, greater than all other heavenly beings. We've learned that while on earth, Jesus learned from his suffering. Made perfect through it, he became our great high priest before God the Father. We learned that the faith relationship is one of fidelity to Christ. And a life-bearing fruit, we can choose to walk away from such a life. In effect, walking away from Christ. We learned that the new and better covenant, superior to the old, gave us access to God through the person of Jesus Christ, the high priest of this new covenant. And today in part 5, we will see that the new covenant spoken about last week is made possible by the sacrifice Jesus made when on the cross. That we can be washed clean, not just on the outside, but can be made free from the attitude and disposition of sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning grateful, Father, for what you accomplished through your Son on the cross. You didn't withhold your best for us so that we could be made right. Thank you for it this morning, Lord. Speak through me as I declare your word. I pray that there would be understanding of what you want to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So please stand for the reading of God's word as found in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, verses 11 through 15. Starting in verse 11. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made with human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. Please be seated. So I want to circle back around to verses 11 through 12. I'm going to read it again. So Christ has now become the high priest over all good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. So to understand verses 11 and 12 a little better, I want to step back a couple of verses within the same chapter and start at verse 7. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins of people had committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. So did you catch verse 8? The entrance to the presence of God was not freely open. In other words, you couldn't just come strolling up to the tabernacle and walk in. Bad things would have happened if you did that. Only the high priest could ever enter the presence of God, and only once a year. So circling back to verses 11 and 12, Christ Jesus made a way into the very presence of God. In the old covenant, as spelled out in the book of Exodus, there's very detailed instructions on what the tabernacle looked like, from the length of the posts that held it up to the curtains size and how many curtains and how thick it was. And it's very detailed, starting in verse 33 of Exodus to the end of the chapter. There was a large thick curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. The most holy place was where God was said to dwell. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, the barrier that could not be crossed but once a year and only by religious authorities was torn in two from top to bottom. So I don't know who's ever seen the Passion of the Christ, and you remember the scene where the temple was destroyed and the curtain was ripped in two. That's what this is talking about. In the old covenant, blood sacrifice had to be offered continually. It only dealt with the external effects of sin, never the internal attitude. The gifts and sacrifices that the priests offered were not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who brought them. For the old system only dealt with food and drink and various other cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. One need only look at the book of Leviticus for those rules. So moving on to chapter 9 and verse 13. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. So sin is more than ceremonial uncleanness. It's even more than moral defilement. The rules and regulations provided only temporary benefit. They would have to return over and over again for continual sacrifices. The problem would return again, requiring yet another sin offering as long as the inward weakness of the worshiper remained unaddressed. So in one of the commentaries that I read preparing for today, it says, "Our high priest entered heaven once for all and has obtained eternal redemption. The Holy Ghost further signified and showed that the Old Testament sacrifices only freed the outward man from ceremonial uncleanness and fitted him for some outward privileges." So a little more detail about that. We read Leviticus 1, first five verses. "The Lord called Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, 'Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from your herd of cattle or your flock of sheep and goats. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the herd, it must be male and with no defects. Bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle so you may be accepted by the Lord. Lay your hand on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, making you right with him. Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will present the animal's body by splattering it against all the sides, animal's blood rather, by splattering it against all the sides of the altar that stands at the entrance to the tabernacle. So moving on to verse 14. How much more? Greater. Hebrews 9:14. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God, for by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. So I'm kind of weird like this. I'd like to do the interlinear translation and look at the Greek words. The word purify is found in the first part of that verse. In some translations is cleansed. The Greek word for that is katharizo, which means to make clean. Not only from just physical stains, but in a moral sense also. Free from the defilement of sins, purify from wickedness, free from the guilt of sin, to consecrate, cleanse, purify, or dedicate. Now think, if bulls and goats could do that, cleanse the outside, how much more can the blood of Christ cleanse and purify us from the guilt of sin that may be present in us? The covenant was good at ceremonial cleansing the exterior of a person, but it never did anything for the disposition of the heart that was within. Christ has made a way where there was no way. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." He made a way, not just for us to be clean on the outside, for all to see, but he made a way for all who would believe in him to be made clean from the attitude of sin that is on the inside. Hebrews chapter 4. 14 through 16 says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do. Yet, he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Because of the shedding of his blood, we can have freedom and forgiveness. Because he is our great high priest, we can be free from the attitude of sin." So one of my favorite authors is A.W. Tozer. I've read most everything he's ever written. So one of the quotes that he said that specifically pertains to this passage: "Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us. Yet if we withhold ourselves from that blood, we will be unclean forever." Chapter 9 and verse 15. "That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant." So the word mediates also stuck out to me. That is the Greek word mesites, which means one who intervenes between two, an arbitrator. Moses in the Old Testament was a messenger of God's laws of the old covenant. It said that when it's either in Exodus or Leviticus, when Moses would go into the tent of meeting to meet with the Lord, all of Israel would bow while he was in the tent because the presence of the Lord would envelop the tent. Jesus was the fulfillment of that covenant. The old covenant was based on rules. Just read the book of Leviticus. It is a good book, but that is the rules. If you want to know, read Leviticus. But because of Christ, we can have a relationship and audience with the King. We were once held ransomed by sin, captive and without hope. But by the ransom paid on the cross, I can be free and you can be free. The blood of Christ doesn't just cover, it pays the ransom that no amount of animal sacrifice could ever. So another one of the commentaries I read, and I read two or three, says, as believers, we can have confidence because of all that we have in Christ is eternal. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 makes it clear that there was no final and complete redemption under the old covenant. Those transgressions were covered by the blood of many sacrifices, covered but not cleansed, until Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Since Christ has accomplished an eternal redemption, we are able to share in an eternal inheritance. So as the band makes their way up, what about you this morning? I want to read from Article 6 from our denominational manual. Article 6 is about atonement. So it says, Jesus Christ, by his sufferings, by the shedding of his own blood, and by his death on the cross, made full atonement for all human sin, and that this atonement is the only grounds for salvation, and that this is sufficient for every individual of Adam's race. So there are some things that we were never meant to carry. The weight of unrepentant sin is one of those things. We were never designed to carry that kind of weight. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning, don't let this opportunity pass you by. Carrying unrepentant sin and failures is akin to carrying heavy baggage around all the time. It does nothing but weigh a person down. So for work, I have to carry a lot of hand tools around with me. I have a bag. It's probably that wide by about that tall, maybe. And it weighs probably between 30 and 40 pounds. And I learned long ago that it's too heavy for me to carry. I don't carry it. I have a cart that I put it on rather than carrying it around. Sin is a heavy load to bear. Don't carry around something that Jesus has offered not only to forgive you of, but free you from. Katharizo, to be made clean. So while doing the dishes, I was trying to think of an analogy that would tie this all together. And while doing the dishes, if we just washed the outside of a cup, it would look clean. But if you have a Yeti, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't wash under that thing right there, or take it apart and wash around the gasket, it's still dirty. Can't tell, but it's still dirty. It'll appear clean and ready for use on the outside, but it's still dirty. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and that man is Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22 and 23 say, in fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness. That is why the tabernacle and everything in it, which were copies of things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. but the real things in heaven were purified with a far better sacrifice than the blood of animals. When we accept Jesus as our Savior and make Him our Lord, His sacrifice is mentioned in the Scriptures. Cleans not just the outside, where everybody can see, but it cleanses the inside and makes us a new creation in Christ. Luke 22, 14 through 20. When time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God for it, and he said, "Take this and share it amongst yourselves, for I will not drink this again until the kingdom of God has come." Then he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup and he said, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." Today we're going to partake in communion. The only thing I ask is, if you need to pray, that you pray before you take the elements. The communion supper instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a sacrament which proclaims his life, his sufferings, his sacrificial death and resurrection, and the hope of his coming again. It shows forth the Lord's death until his return. The supper is a means of grace in which Christ is present by the Spirit, is to be received in reverent appreciation and gratefulness for what Christ did. You do not have to be a member of this local church to partake in the sacrament of communion, but we do ask that you be sincere in seeking right relationship with him. The bread represents his body, broken for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. The cup represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you. Preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. The tables are open. Partake when you are ready. If you need to pray, please pray. The Holy Spirit is here with us.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.